Hello, and thank you for joining us today. Today I will be reading an article out of the Clinton Journal, and the date for this paper is Friday, November the 28th of 2025. First, we'll start off with the county clarifies MFV funding. County engineer explains MFT process and after state temporarily freezes funds. By Gordon Woods. Clinton. Township officials addressed the county board November 20th about clarification on the recent events involving motor fuel tax funds. Kim Gaff, a township trustee, said county engineer Mark Mathan held a meeting with road commissioners in August. They were able to hear and understand what happened on our funds being frozen, Gaff said. County motor fuel tax funds, or MFT, were frozen by the state over the summer pending some paperwork issues. This delayed townships from beginning much of their annual road maintenance work. I would like to know where we are going and what we are going to do so we don't run into this problem again in the future, Gaff said. Some of the smaller townships were just barely hanging on by a thread, and MFT funds are being frozen. Had a huge impact on them. I also want you to know that many of these roads and road commissioners receive lots of phone calls from taxpayers wanting to know why the projects were not getting accomplished, Gaff said. She felt it was important for people to be able to explain the problem to the people who elected us. Specifically, Gaff asked the board what plan was in place to avoid the same situation in the future, where a particular bridge project currently stood, and issues related to the roads as they pertain to the increasing number of solar energy projects developing. She also asked if the county planned to hire an assistant to help the county highway engineer. So we don't have to face this again. Mathan said some expenditures by townships cannot be paid for without the MFT funds, without prior authorization. In response to a question posed earlier by Township Supervisor Mark Cyrulik about why some of $2 million balance in the county's MFT fund couldn't be used to assist the townships, Mathan said that was used for local matching on projects with state or federal money and for county MFT-funded work. MFT-funded distributions to local agencies, which go to municipalities, counties, and townships, are calculated by a formula set out in statute and are set as separate allocations, Mathan said. Co-mingling funds between these agencies is not allowed. He added that MFT funds were, by statute, administered by the county. Mathan said each year, the state establishes what are considered allowable expenditures for MFT funds. Any overages outside what is MFT allowable is then sent to the highway commissioners for payment with local funds, Mathan said. Gaff and Mathan's information was confirmed by state officials that she talked to. Gaff asked Mathan if he could provide detailed printouts and receipts to each township so they had a clearer idea what they had to work with and for accounting purposes. He said he would work with them to accomplish that. This is the first time I've been asked for something beyond what we have always done, Mathan said. Concerns raised before Douglas Lincoln plan vote by Gordon Woods. Clinton. While the consensus among teachers and staff at Douglas and Lincoln schools appears to support the reorganization proposal for the two schools, some feel unanswered questions still remain. One teacher addressed the school board last week about those questions. I have not spoken to any one of my colleagues who do not support the idea of this happening, the teacher told board members. However, we still have many unanswered questions about the consolidation and how it would be implemented as it's currently proposed. She said proposed maps of the reorganization continues to raise concerns. The maps essentially show how the schools would be reorganized. We have repeatedly raised these concerns, but many remain answered, or we've simply been told the details will simplify or be determined after the plan is approved, she said. She and teachers have assured the plan is temporary until a new school is constructed, but are not aware that plans for a new school exist. School administrators said earlier this year, the plan was viewed as a temporary situation, with an eye toward possible new replacement school sometime in the next 10 years. There was no indication at that time that the plans for the new school had yet advanced any further. The teacher, she said, and the other teachers would support whatever decision the school board made. I simply ask that you take our concerns seriously, she said. She asked the board to delay its decision to approve the plan map until the issues in question were resolved. Before the board's vote, board member Chris Hammer expressed his support for delaying the approval of the map until questions about the plan are resolved. I'm for it, but I think the details need to be worked out, Hammer said. I agree with some of the people who have spoken. I've had numerous people give me lists and other lists of things that they would like to see taken care of. He said he couldn't vote to accept the map without listening to them. They are the one directly impacted by this, and I respect them enough to feel like we can take another look at it, Hammer said. Hammer gave credit to the plan committee working on it, but felt because of the concerns, it was not the right time to move forward. Other board members felt the issues raised could easily be addressed after the map was approved. The board ultimately voted to approve the map. Parents urged to stop using ByHeart formula. All ByHeart whole nutrition formulas recalled as suspected infant botulism cases grow to 15 states, including Illinois. In Springfield, the Illinois Department of Health, or the IDPH, is urging parents and guardians to discontinue the use of a recalled brand of powdered infant formula, which has been linked to 15 suspected or confirmed cases of infant botulism in 12 states, including Illinois. The reminder comes after the recall of ByHeart formula was expanded to include all lots of the whole nutrition infant formula. In Illinois, two infants have become ill after consuming this product. Laboratory testing has confirmed the presence of infant botulism type A in one child. Test results are pending on the second case. Infant botulism is a serious infection with symptoms that may include drowsiness or lethargy, a weak cry, poor muscle tone, constipation, and other issues. The health and safety of our youngest Illinoisans is one of our highest priorities, said IDPH Director Dr. Samir Vahora. We are urging all parents, guardians, and child care providers to take immediate action by following the recall guidance and to stop using any ByHeart Whole Nutrition infant formula. If your child has consumed this product and shows any signs of illness, please seek medical care immediately. IDPH urges parents with the unopened containers of ByHeart Whole Nutrition infant formula to throw it out or return it to point of purchase for a refund. If their infant has consumed any of the product within the past 30 days, parents should retain the unused portion of the product for possible testing. Any unused product should be clearly labeled Do Not Use and kept on a high shelf, separate from other infant formula, to prevent any chance of inadvertently giving it to their infant. Child care facilities should not store this product. Child care facilities should communicate with the parents who provided the product about the recall. They should then label the product Do Not Use and either throw the product away or return it to the parents to store while monitoring their child. If discarded, consumers are advised to document the lot and batch number of the formula and the best buy date and retain this information for at least 30 days. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration, or the FDA, also recommends washing any items or surfaces that have touched that the formula has touched using hot soapy water, or dishwater. Infant botulism symptoms can begin up to 30 days after a baby consumes contaminated formula. That means that parents and caregivers should closely monitor their baby for signs of the illness for a full month after the last time that the formula was used. If an infant has consumed the formula, families may understandably want testing, even if their child is not showing any symptoms. Unfortunately, due to the nature of infant botulism, testing is not effective until symptoms are present. If your baby becomes unusually sleepy, has a weak cry, trouble feeding, constipation, or just seems off, and has consumed ByHeart formula, contact your pediatrician or go to the emergency department right away. If botulism is suspected, doctors can administer an antitoxin to help treat the infection. Parents and guardians who have questions should contact their pediatrician or local health department. You can also learn more at Infant Botulism. The entertainment announced for 2026 Heritage Days in Farmer City. The 2026 Heritage Days Committee announces main events for next year's festival. In partnership with the TNA Bucking Bulls and Rugged Cross Cattle Company, Heritage Days will host a two-day rodeo event in Farmer City that is set out to be the festival's highlight. Attendees can expect an action-packed lineup, including bull riding, ranch bronc riding, barrel racing, and other rodeo activities. Following a successful 2025 event, this year's festival will continue at the Farmer City DeWitt County Fairgrounds. This venue provides ample space for more vendors and diverse food trucks, as well as enabling the event to significantly expand the free kids activities and the highly popular 5K run. Clearing Main Street will allow a festive cruise down the street, coinciding with the car show entries, and bringing together car lovers and the community for celebration. Each night after the rodeo, the festival will feature main stage concerts at the arena. On the evening of Friday, May 29th, 2026, the festival will welcome the rural, blue-collar country rock duo Lakeview, known for their hits Home Team and See Me in a Suit. On Saturday, May 30th of 2026, we will welcome country music artist Randy Houser. Known for his distinctive voice with over a billion streams, Houser's hits include Runnin', Out in Moonlight, Goodnight Kiss, and the CMA Song of the Year nominee Like a Cowboy. His fourth number one single, We Went, is from the album Fired Up. His latest album, Note to Self, features all co-written tracks and marks his return after the acclaimed Magnolia. Music Row highlights him as one of country music's very finest vocalists. Continuing the tradition at Heritage Days, the festival will also feature a carnival and an expansive kids' zone, both conveniently located at the fairgrounds. The public is invited to the community night on Thursday, May 28th of 2026, also hosted at the fairgrounds, promoting community spirit and connection ahead of the weekend festivities. Gates for the rodeo and concerts will open promptly at 5 p.m. each night. The rodeo will begin at 6:30 p.m., followed by a concert starting at 9 p.m. General admission is free for the rodeo and the concert. After the rodeo concludes, the track gates will open for those with party pit tickets, allowing an up-close experience right in front of the stage. Party pit tickets are available now on the festival website. Note that all event times are subject to change. For the latest information and updates, check the official website at www.farmercityheritagedays.com. Darwin Rotbort, Brownsfield. Services for Darren Rotbort, 66, of Brownfield, will be held at 10 a.m. on Monday, November the 24th, 2025, at Brownfield Funeral Home, with John Fields officiating. Visitation will be held from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. on November 23rd, 2025, at Brownfield Funeral Home. Darwin was born on December 20th, 1958, in Decatur, to Henry and Bernice Rotbort. He was more than just a businessman. He was a dedicated family man, kind-hearted individual who touched the lives of those around him. Throughout his life, Darwin exemplified what it meant to be a hard worker. His dedication was a shining testament to his character, and he was admired for unwavering work ethics. Beyond his professional achievements, Darwin's true legacy lies in the love he had for his family and the warmth he extended to everyone he encountered. He was a caring man who always prioritized the needs of others, creating a nurturing environment for his loved ones. Family gatherings were filled with laughter and joy as he took great pleasure in being surrounded by those he cherished. Moreover, Darwin had a profound affection for animals. This love showcased his gentle nature and ability to empathize with all living things. Whether it was caring for pets, supporting animal welfare, or others, he carried a special bond with him with the creatures that graced his life. Darwin was preceded in death by his parents, Henry and Bernice Rotbort, and a brother, Jan Rotbort. Darwin is survived by his children, Derek Rotbort, and fiancée Amy Triana and Victoria Rotbort, grandchildren Spencer Rotbort, Sawyer Rotbort, Amelia Triana, and Jake Rosales, ex-wife Nancy Rotbort, brothers Mark Rotbort, Alvin Rotbort, and sister Jacqueline Tromp, and many nieces and nephews. Barbara Ann Reibolt, Kenny. Barbara Ann Reibolt, 85, of Kenny, passed away at 1:55 a.m. on November 23, 2025 at Warner Hospital and Health Services in Clinton. No funerals are planned. Calvert Funeral Home in Clinton is handling cremation rites. All memorials may be directed to the Kenny Fire Department. Barb was born on December 31, 1939 in Clinton and the daughter of Albert and Edward and Dorothea Williams Samuel. She graduated from Clinton High School in 1957. Her early career began in the 1950s working alongside her father, Sammy, at the Williams Paint Store that he owned on the Clinton Square. She later spent many years at the Revere Ware until its closure. In the 1980s, she joined the construction workforce of the Clinton Power House and Quality Assurance, and continued nuclear station work in New York, Texas, Michigan, and South Carolina. Eventually, she retired after a long second career at Ameren Power Indicator, where she formed many lasting friendships. Her career was one outlet for her energy, but her driving forces were her family and home improvement projects. She took considerable pride in the appearance of her home interior and yard, and always had a project going. Sometimes jokingly, too many projects. She was known for her thoughtful, personalized gift-giving, always accompanied by the beautiful penmanship that she worked so hard to perfect. She loved Snoopy, but even more so Woodstock, and pink flamingos became a lighthearted trend that she enjoyed. She traveled dozens of lighthouses across the U.S., collecting lighthouse figurines from each visit, and gathered bottles of sand carefully labeled and dated from every beach she visited. Barb, or Meme, especially cherished her grandchildren. She devoted as much time as possible to them, not only adoring and spoiling them, but actively mentoring and guiding them. Her support and stability for her family were truly remarkable. Barbara is survived by her sons, Richard J. Reibolt of Moroa, Wade E. Finley of Heron, Illinois, and her grandchildren, Cheyenne Burchett, Canyon Burchett, Allie Burchett, McDonald, and Holden Samuel Reibolt. She was preceded in death by her parents and her daughters, Laura Finley Burchett and Lana Finley. She mourned the loss of her daughters with tremendous grace and is comforting to know they are reunited. Online condolences may be made out at www.calvertmemorial.com. Editor's note, because of an early holiday week press deadline, there is no Richard Koritz On Point column in this week's print edition of the Journal. Check www.theclintonjournal.com for this week's On Point column. Time change raises risk of driver collisions with wildlife by Carla Griesbaum and Emily Steele, University of Illinois Extension, Urbana, Illinois. With the recent annual change from daylight saving time to Central Standard Time, one of the most noticeable effects of falling back is that people find themselves driving home from work or after-school activities as the sun sets, putting them on the road and at risk for collisions with many wildlife that are active at that time. The tradition of daylight saving time has a long history. with the reasons for its implementation ranging from maintaining daylight during work and school to conserving energy and boosting the economy through extended shopping hours. However, research has shown that the end of daylight saving time in the fall can lead to an increase in wildlife vehicle collisions. Studies across the U.S. have tracked white-tailed deer vehicle collision rates in relation to time changes, with some showing a 16% spike in the deer vehicle collisions after the fall time shift. Collisions also tend to decrease after clocks spring forward in March. Reduced visibility and driver fatigue caused by disrupted sleep schedules can further increase the risk of collisions following the time change. As we transition into darker evenings, drivers should stay alert and be aware of wildlife activity near roads to avoid collisions, said Carla Griesbaum, University of Illinois Extension, Natural Resources, Environment, and Energy Educator. Not all collisions can be prevented, but drivers can reduce their risk by understanding wildlife behavior. White-tailed deer, coyotes, rabbits, foxes, moths, fireflies, bees, and other wildlife are crepuscular, meaning they are most active at dawn and dusk. These animals have adapted to be active during these times to avoid predators, enhance camouflage, and take advantage of cooler temperatures in the summer. Hunting season and animal mating behaviors also contribute to increased wildlife activity in the fall. In case of the white-tailed deer, human activity can also influence much of their movement, such as when they gather in cornfields and traffic flows at certain times of the day. When this pattern changes suddenly, it will take wildlife just a few weeks to readjust. An estimated 1 million vertebrate wildlife are killed by vehicles every day in the United States, and an animal collision with any large animal can be costly. Wildlife vehicle collisions are a lose-lose situation. They are most often fatal for the animal and potentially harmful to the people involved, Griesbaum said. When driving at night, reduce your speed, keep a safe distance between you and other vehicles, and be prepared to stop. Scan the roadsides for eye shine, which is the reflection of headlights in the animal's eyes, and use high beam lights when appropriate. Watch out for wildlife in areas near woodlots, field edges, waterways, and places they have been spotted in the past. If animals are on the roadway, avoid slamming on the brakes or swerving into traffic or off of the road. This can cause the loss of control of the vehicle. Slow to a stop, flash your headlights, and honk the car horn to encourage the animals to move off of the road. If an animal is struck, safely pull off the road, assess the situation, and call 911 if needed. It is illegal for anyone except law enforcement officer to kill a crippled animal. Deer killed in vehicle collision can be legally claimed by any Illinois citizen. Claims must be reported to Illinois Department of Natural Resources within 24 hours by calling 217-782-6431 or online at deer.wildlifeillinois.org. Explore more about navigating human-wildlife interactions on Illinois Extension's wildlife website at extension.illinois.edu/wildlife. Small changes can have a big impact on heart health. Decatur, Illinois. Heart disease is a leading cause of death in the United States, according to the Centers for Disease Control. Take control of your heart health and learn how sodium, fat, and added sugar and fiber impact the heart during these free online workshops presented by the University of Illinois Extension. Heart Smart Eating will be offered online from noon to 1 p.m. and 7 to 8 p.m. on December the 4th. Participants will attend these classes virtually, and both sessions will feature the same content. Small changes add up to get blood cholesterol and blood pressure numbers in a healthy range, says nutrition and wellness educator Caitlin Mellendorf. The class will raise your knowledge and skills to make more informed heart-healthy food choices. There is no charge for these classes. However, advanced registration by December the 2nd is required to receive the link to participate. Visit go.illinois.edu/heartsmart or call 217-877-6042 to complete the registration. University of Illinois Extension provides equal opportunities in programs and employment. If you need a reasonable accommodation to participate, please call 217-877-6042. Early requests are strongly encouraged to allow sufficient time for meeting your access needs. History Almanac. In 1963, U.S. President Johnson announced that Cape Canaveral would be renamed Cape Kennedy in honor of his assassinated predecessor. The name was changed back to Cape Canaveral in 1973 by a vote of residents. 1964, the U.S. launched the space probe Mariner 5 from Cape Kennedy on a course set for Mars. 1977, Larry Bird was introduced as college basketball's secret weapon with a cover story in Sports Illustrated NBA. 1978, the Iranian government banned religious marches. 1979, an Air New Zealand DC-10 flying to the South Pole crashed in Antarctica, killing all 257 people aboard. 1983, the space shuttle Columbia took off with the STS-9 space lab in its cargo bay. 1985, the Irish Senate approved the Anglo-Irish Accord concerning Northern Ireland. 1987, a South African Airways Boeing 747 crashed into the Indian Ocean. All 159 people aboard were killed. 1989, Romanian gymnast Nadia Comăneci arrived in New York after escaping her homeland through Hungary. 1990, Margaret Thatcher resigned as Prime Minister of Britain. In 1992, in Bosnia Herzegovina, 137 tons of food and supplies were to be delivered to the isolated town of Srebrenica. 1992, in King Williamstown, South Africa, black militant gunmen attacked a country club, killing 4 people and injuring 20. Law Enforcement, Clinton Police Department. Citations, 11-12-2025. Rachel Ostaber, 37, of Clinton, was issued a citation for operating an uninsured vehicle. Ostaber was issued a notice to appear. 11-13-25, Ibrahim Lebran, 44, of Bloomington, was issued a citation for operating an uninsured vehicle, and he was given a notice to appear. 11-14-25. Micah Powell, 30, of Clinton, was issued a citation for operating a vehicle with a suspended registration. Powell was issued a notice to appear. Arrests, 11-11-2025. Catherine Townsend, 29. Kenny was charged with driving while license suspended and operating an uninsured vehicle. Townsend was transported to the DeWitt County Jail and released to corrections. 11-10-2025, Tawny White, 36, of Decatur, was charged with driving while license revoked. White was transported to DeWitt County Jail, released to corrections. 11-13-2025, Caitlin Ratcliffe, 32, of Clinton, was charged with illegal dumping and obstructing slash resisting an arrest. Ratcliffe was issued a notice to appear. 11-14-2025, Stephen Johnson, 38, Kenny, was charged with driving while license revoked. Johnson was transported to the jail and released. 11-15-25. Donald Buletta, 83, Clinton, was charged with driving under the influence of alcohol, failed to reduce speed causing an accident, driving in the wrong lane, and operating an uninsured vehicle. He was transported to DeWitt County Jail Corrections. 11-15-25, Marlon Hendriquez Gutierrez, 28, of Chicago, was charged while operating a motor vehicle with a suspended license. Hendriquez Gutierrez is transported to DeWitt County Jail and released to corrections. This has been your edition of the Clinton Journal, and my name is Kayla Verhoeven, and it was wonderful reading for you. Have a great day.